He plow, I had to hit her with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy ain't Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stills in the sauce with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better more than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him, I never traded him, and if it did, I never traded him. You don't know what is a star, like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose, like a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever, and cute as can be. You can watch us on YouTube. With you for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Oh, hello. Welcome on in.
What's happening?
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
How are you? In the flesh. I haven't seen you since pre-Barry Bonds arm, yeah?
No. Remember, I came once.
With a brace?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
You just wanted to prove it? You just did it to prove that you could drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like you.
I was bored. Like, it's so...
Cooped up?
So boring. Like, man.
It's
good to get out. Traffic wasn't bad, so.
Wasn't too bad. It hasn't been too bad. You know, typical. We're hardened at this point to this. You know, we're all used to what school traffic is down here.
Yep.
They put a new ramp up. It did nothing.
That, like,
I go higher.
I think the racket of South Florida is who's ever building highways and designing highways.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them don't help. Like, what they are doing in downtown Miami with all those roads and not all that space, you're very limited.
Very limited. It is what it is.
So how can you make something run smoothly while only allowing one lane to do such thing?
I don't know. But you do get a good view of Miami now because you can just go wee up the ramp and then you get a little looky-loo up there on the old highway. But good to have everybody here today. It's exciting. It's Klay Thompson Day.
I mean,
he's getting introduced at the Kaseya Center today.
I like Klay.
Hmm?
Let's give it its proper context. Right? Like, he was a Splash Brother.
No, he still is a Splash Brother.
Okay.
I mean, once you're a Splash Brother, you don't get to take away the title. That's not a thing. I mean, you don't get to just strip it from him. Like, Superman's always.
What if he's splashing no more?
He is splashing, though. He can still shoot it.
If you're an Avenger, you're an Avenger. You don't
kicked out, you know?
All right. Well, I mean, unless you're Robert Downey Jr., who is now all of a sudden a bad guy.
I don't know. You sound like my son. I don't even understand these rules of
not
what's
that
going
he kicked
on there.
Out. It's just that Marvel needed money.
So
he's a moneymaker. So, right. Hey, you don't want to be Iron Man? We'll make you do.
Why doesn't he want to be Iron Man?
Because he was just tired of being Iron Man. And he killed Iron Man.
Yeah, I know
Iron
that.
Man died. Right.
I understand.
But it is a multiverse, so you could have brought him back.
Yeah, I just saw Tobey Maguire, you know, with Garfield. They break whatever rules they want. Let's be real about it. They could do whatever cameo they want.
That might be the absolutely one thing about Marvel that's absolutely bonkers, is that there's no rules.
No rules.
Like if you died, we'll find a way to get you back. We just call it the multiverse.
Just stick around a little bit. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Oh, you got snapped away? Don't worry about it, dude. It's all happening. Oh, we still need Spider-Man in high school? Don't worry. Guess what? Time froze when everybody was dead.
Right. He'd been in high school for 37 years.
Right. It's like, is this not creepy to anybody else that the spider kid is still hanging around? Well, whatever. You know, he's still with Zendaya. It's all cool. It's all cool. It's all cool. Let's get to our headlines, everybody. Those are brought to you by Doral Hyundai in Miami. You go to the beach for a little solcito, and when you want a low price, you save with your pricito. Save now with your pricito at Doral Hyundai. Wes Goldberg is going to join us later on this hour. Right. We'll talk to Locked On Heat host Wes Goldberg. Always love chatting it up with him on Klay Day. But last night, the Marlins, that was a tough one.
That was
a tough one.
Is it me, or does this always happen on Sandy Day? Sandy. Like, he'll get him to the six, and he's, like, reluctant to leave. And then whoever comes in blows it.
Yeah, it was. We had old Peaky Boo yesterday. He had a nerve issue when he went in there. He was like, ah, there's Fairbanks. All right, we're good. And then we weren't good because his nerves got messed up. But losing
in
the
his neck or his arm?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But the thing that really hurt yesterday, they bring this intangible Eckness in there. And, I mean, he was terrible. I mean, he was willy-nilly with the baseball. Throws a wild. Look, dude, a double and giving up a wild pitch. Like, come on.
Don't blame it on him.
Why not?
We left too many men on base.
So do they.
I know, but.
So do they.
We have to capitalize. I'm not going to blame it all on him. Loaded in the third inning, bases loaded late in.
That's a pitcher's duel, Vlad.
That was not a pitcher's duel.
That's a pitcher's duel.
Suarez stunk.
You get in there, but, you know, Sandy, first of all.
They should have had 5 runs against Suarez.
Easy. With Sandy,
they could have had 8 against Sandy. He loaded the bases. That's what it is. Tit for tat. Big situation. You can't come through. That's baseball. That's baseball. Squeaky cheeks. You know what you can't do? Not hit the catcher. Sandy walked, he threw like 9 straight balls in the 7th inning, and guess what? None of them didn't hit the catcher.
All right.
Yes.
He lost it like.
Tommy Hutton was so mad.
Somebody reached to get some popcorn, you look back, and all of a sudden Sandy is wild thing.
Tommy Hutton was yelling at me in the middle of it. He goes, what are all these Red Sox fans doing here? I was like, oh, you're lashing out, Tommy.
He's back, baby.
He was back. He was just, you could just tell when Tommy's annoyed because they give up the lead, and he goes, hey, what do we got all these Red Sox fans here for? Where are you?
Was it Bark at the Park yesterday?
Of course it was. Yeah, it's a Monday, Bark at the Park. And Jonah the dog was back getting his treats.
Yeah.
Seems like this owner was a liar because this Jonah's eating like a fat cat lately.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they want.
I think people are walking by and go, Jonah, you want a hot dog?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So, yeah, losing on Sandy Day, that was not great. Not ideal. That sucked. They'll be back at it tonight. And try and get things. But the way it's been going is because they lost the first game, it means we're getting swept.
It's a bullpen game.
Oh, great. Awesome. Sweet. Always bodes well. What was that? Phillips is starting today?
Still has. He didn't mention. He didn't mention after the game.
Oh, boy.
He just said it's a bullpen game.
All right.
Well, so that means your closer starts and they.
Yeah.
And
we lost our closer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right as he was getting good.
Right. We just had the conversation a couple of days ago about
Fairbanks.
Really being able to depend on Fairbanks, and oh, he's been good.
You never want to hear they're going to give this reliever as much time as he needs. You're like, oh, that's not good.
Well, when you say nerve, there's only one nerve we're concerned with a pitcher. Tommy John.
I don't think it's that. Like,
Is it his upper arm or his shoulder or his neck?
I think it was like a neck back thing, but I'll double check on that. And I think he's been dealing with it, but yeah, he couldn't go.
I mean, he might not be able to peekaboo.
He wasn't able to peekaboo. You could see he was very pissed off when he had to leave. Meanwhile, the Dolphins, they're back at practice today. Jeff Hafley spoke to the media, a lot of news and notes. Trey Moore, the rookie defensive lineman, he is going to have surgery. So he's out long term, maybe not for the season, but
I mean
that's not good.
It's hard. It's really hard to tell the severity of an injury, but that looked
rough.
It looked bad.
Also, bad news: Kenneth Grant. This was Jeff Hafley when asked about Kenny G, because he said like he was week to week, but he's like, I don't even know if he's gonna be back next week. And so then Omar asked him, is he going to be there for the opener? Is there concern? And this is what Jeff Hafley had to say on that whole deal when it came to Kenneth Grant and his health.
I wanted to ask you about Kenneth Grant. Is there a concern about him being available for the season opener, or is this just something that we're resting?
Well, again, he's week to week, so I think, of course, there's going to be concern. If I felt like he was going to for sure be back next week, I would tell you that. Am I hopeful he will be? Yeah, but there's always going to be concern until I see a guy out there. Not to like give you an unanswered question, but that's the best I can do on that one. So while I'm hopeful he'll be out there, until he has his helmet and shoulder pads and he's practicing with us, I'm going to have concern for sure.
All right.
You know, the thing about injuries, man, is it's frustrating for everybody, especially this organization, because you're relying on a lot of young guys. You're relying on your frontline guys.
Right.
When one of those guys gets hurt, you know, and then from a coaching perspective, I'm going to just put it this way. There's a number of ways coaches approach how they talk about injuries. He really seems annoyed. Halfley seems annoyed. And so I don't know how to read into that, right? But it's just like, ugh.
Likes the tub a little bit too much, you're saying?
No, I don't. And it's not necessarily that. It's just that, like, coaches think the one guy that needed to work more than anybody is now hurt.
Yep.
So now we're
Flamingo scooter, by the way.
Huh?
It's a flamingo scooter, the one-legged.
Oh, okay.
I asked.
So that's – he just really – it wasn't the questioning that annoyed him. It just seems like
– the situation.
When you're a coach – think you're a new coach, you're very thin, and you probably have 15 to 20 guys that you're going to have to lean on more than normal teams would. When one of those guys gets hurt, it probably becomes, you know, annoying. And there's no other way of putting it that, yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. But, yeah, he seemed really just annoyed. I can hear from coaches, right? They're just like,
yeah.
And that's the way it is. But, like, keep in mind, one of the reasons why is because he doesn't have that depth.
No, he does not.
And you're talking about a guy who already needed a lot of improvement, and now he's hurt. So when you're coaching him up and you're like, we're getting some progress, and then he gets hurt, it's not necessarily that he's hurt that bothers you. It's the fact that that line, you know, of improvement is now a setback.
Mention the Clay Thompson press conference is going to be at 3 o'clock today. We will carry that for you here on WQAM, so you'll be able to hear that.
Boots
today.
On the ground?
I will be boots on the ground. I'm going to head there after the show today.
Are you going to ask him a stupid question?
Probably.
Okay.
That's what I do. All right. That's what I do. What do you want me to ask him?
Huh?
What do you want me to ask him? I was thinking about asking him, hey, can you shout out your number one fan, Frog Boy?
Oh, my goodness.
Weather update that is brought to you by Tornado Roofing Contracting. Beat the storm. Schedule your free roof and window estimate today. Call 954-968-8155. 86 degrees and cloudy down here in South Florida. Rainy conditions around noon today. So, you know, it is what it is, everybody. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. And we're back after this. Everybody, welcome back. Yeah. Well, you were right. I was like, well, I can't say too much because now we're on the air. But
yeah,
we were signing something, and I was like, well, nobody knows. Yeah, I don't go by my full name on this person, so I'm just going to use my last name. But then I've never just signed my last name because my signature is a little funky. Yeah, that was funny. I feel very rock star just doing what I just did, which is just go by one name. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3. WQAM. Before we get back into it, I want to let you guys know that before the season even kicks off, everyone's making predictions. Who wins the division? Who makes the playoffs? Who's lifted the trophy at season's end? Well, on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform, you could trade those predictions in a live market. Now, closing in, last preseason week, thankfully, so you can lock in your regular season predictions. And everyone thinks Miami's going to stink. It's a rebuild. But if you got faith, all right, maybe things don't go well in New England. All right, they're too horny. Maybe Buffalo doesn't have a good defense. Maybe the Jets. and somehow the Dolphins make their way to the postseason. Well, that's currently trading at 7%. So a $100 trade gets you a payout of over $1,100. But even if you're not that froggy, you can go by win total as well. So if you have Miami winning six or more, that's currently trading at 29%. So a $100 trade gets you a $350 payout. On Kalshi, you're trading against your peers in a live market, meaning there's no house and as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position, trade the draft pick, the game, and more on Kalshi. And you download the Kalshi app and use my code Tobin. You get $20 when you trade 20. K-A-L-S-H-I, Kalshi, trade on anything. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. Oh! Hello! Toddy B!
She's not even camera ready.
Wow. That's a doozy today.
Second segment?
That's a doozy today, Leroy. Hello, hello. In the 20s.
Damn.
Train must have stopped.
And I texted her. Train got you? Yes. And she didn't even respond.
Wow.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you. We hear you good.
No, we can hear you.
Volume knob?
Whoever's sitting here.
You know how this radio thing works.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyway,
radio.
For some reason, my badge isn't working, so I was downstairs.
Oh, so that's what you were you called.
Yes.
Yeah, but I wasn't by my phone. And then
So why'd you text Vlad?
When I said
Vlad, because I didn't want to bother you, because you're going to be like, oh, I have commercials and stuff like
that. What about
that.
The guest
No, because I texted you if you look at your phone.
You texted me. I didn't know.
You see? You're not even.
Right.
You should have used the hotline.
Like, if I don't see you.
Hey, guys, come pick me up downstairs,
yeah.
Please. That's
yeah, if
crazy.
I don't see you by 7 minutes, then I get
the only
worried.
Problem when I have to do that, when I leave my wallet,
yeah,
is I have to text you or call you to ask you what the hotline is. So.
I don't even think I have that anymore.
No.
For tardiness.
No.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
I went through I don't know how many doors. I'm like, why isn't this working? I thought it was just the elevator.
I thought they said
access.
The door works now.
No. Today's the day if you don't. Because some badges doesn't work for the center.
Right.
So
but
then we got
badge works for the center.
So we got an email that mm-hmm. today, if your badge doesn't work for the center,
mm-hmm.
go see Mike and he'll set it up
Mike.
So that all the badge can yeah. work. The engineer.
Then he restarted
I love how people have been working here for 3 years. You have no idea who they are. Mike's an engineer.
You know who's Mike.
No, you don't. No, you
yes,
don't.
Do.
You wouldn't
no,
ask.
No,
you wouldn't ask.
Yes,
Mike!
Let me tell you why.
No, because you're going to size shame.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
He already did, though. That's the thing.
No, I'm not.
He already had.
Because we were at the cigar thing 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was like last year. What do you mean? That was last year.
It was two cigar things ago.
Last year.
All right, not the one this year. Last year. Right.
Yeah, better than I expected.
So
you worked your way out of that one.
So I said to Jennifer, who's this guy? She goes, you work with him.
Shaming.
No, I wasn't shaming.
But you don't have to shame. You don't have to literally shame to shame.
What do you mean?
Shame is shame.
Shame is shame.
Leroy,
like words
you.
Are words.
Yep. That's what that means. Right. Hey, by the way, did you see the Big Ten's making a stand?
Yep.
Big Ten is not allowing the old okey-doke back into the league.
This is, again, the NCAA, when you are all said and done and it's over, it is your own doing because you didn't stay as a organization that's supposed to be ahead of everything. You have fought all the things that are going on now, and you have never taken an initiative to cut these things off before they start get going. So now, if a player wants something or a league wants something, they don't even go to you. They go to the courts and get all these rules passed, and you can't do anything about it because you sat on your hands for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember the biggest fight in the world they had? Was whether players should get money.
Sure.
Now you can't control it.
The report is from Pete Thamel. Sources, the Big Ten is set to pass a rule today that doesn't allow players to return from the NFL and play for a Big Ten school. Anyone who declared for the NFL draft and did not withdraw, appeared on an NFL roster, or signed a contract with a pro league cannot be on a Big Ten roster. This, of course, coming a day after LSU just welcomed back one of Lane Kiffin's tight ends. Which felt like it was going to open up the floodgates, but if anybody's going to now pass the rules, it's going to have to be conferences.
Right, because the NCAA is just getting punked.
Yeah, I mean, the conferences are the ones who get the money. They do the deals. And they're the ones. Now, this is an interesting play by the Big Ten, because they're trying to say, hey, we're a more pure conference, where the SEC, all right, they've started already, you know, doing the shadiness. So will they follow suit? Will they feel pressure to follow suit? Or do you think that they'll still just allow what's going on and what's going on? Because they've already allowed LSU to do it.
How good are the guys, though?
I don't know. I mean, obviously it's good enough that Lane Kiffin wants the guy back.
I mean, okay, but...
Not good enough to make an NFL roster, but old enough to be good on a college roster.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're 25, 26 years old, you should be good against 18, 19-year-olds.
Sure.
Right.
But there's also plenty of guys who have been around because of eligibility or health reasons. This is a different. Right. This is a bit of a different beast. This has been happening in basketball. You know, we've seen this. This
yeah, guys this left and came back, right?
Guys went to the G League. This happened with Malik Renew from the Canes. It looks like he may end up back at least in college basketball, if not with the Canes. So... I don't know, but he was with, I think, the Cavaliers in the summer league, I think.
I to be honest with you, I think basketball is a little different animal, because if you're undrafted, I think they should let you go to summer league, and if you can't get a contract out of that, then you can go back. Because, like...
It's summer league.
It's summer league.
It is,
right? It's kind of a... It's twofold, right? If you have some of those guys who are undrafted that don't make a team and they go back to college, they've gotten some development and it actually makes the college game better. Whereas in football, it looks like the guys that try to go to the NFL and failed are using the NCAA as grounds to like keep playing football.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because it's like, you know, that's kind of like the last fortress of solitude there is, because we've seen guys declare for the draft and go back. Cam Ward did. Cam Ward, you know, declared for the draft and then ended up going back to the Miami Hurricanes after, you know, getting his draft grade.
It used to be that you could declare for the draft, but if you signed it with an agent,
you're out. Yep.
That rule kind of changes, because some of them already have an agent.
Oh, yeah. So, people have agents in high school now.
Right. So... Well,
they do.
I don't call those agents.
Leeches?
Come on.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Too much?
Like it's too much. It's too much. It's all like the only thing that you get there is a cut.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no what is a kid really able to do?
Kids, 17-year-olds must be. Have you guys ever watched high school broadcast news? It's terrible. I used to produce those things. Imagine how bad those kids are in commercials. Barely can read a teleprompter.
I think it has more to do with not whether they can read, but the nerves.
That too.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
That definitely weighs into it. Yeah. That definitely weighs into it. But it's
gonna, I never could be
it's
that way.
Look like Charlie Sheen in Major League Two when he couldn't even hold up the right guard stick.
My family would make fun of me. I wouldn't have to get like. I saw your little commercial. Like, what you afraid of? Like, it would be like a family get together about what just happened.
Yep. Crazy. All right, we'll take a break. Wes Goldberg from Locked On Heat, he's scheduled to join us next on the program. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Very exciting. It's Clay Day today. It literally is.
This Clay? No, I know. Is. No, but I'm saying.
It literally is. And I don't know why you're disrespecting the Hall of
Famer. I'm not disrespecting.
I'm not disrespecting. You're doing the thing. Do you get influenced by Frog Boy? What's your deal?
Did he tell you to do this?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Why?
Not at all.
You jonesing for preseason football?
No.
Well, this is an exciting day.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like you.
I mean, I'm just, are we happy to have Clay because it's Clay?
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah.
You want me to break down Sweden, Finland?
No. Oh God. No. Oh, God. No.
You have two choices.
Clay Day. I'm not trying to, like, rain on nobody's parade. But what I'm saying is that at what point in a person's career are we not supposed to look at them as Clay the Splash Brother and Clay the Contributor.
Somewhere between Clay Thompson and Paul George. Paul George is the bad side. Clay Thompson's the good side.
Oh, okay. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, we keep, like, so there's LeBron. Like, everybody in the league, LeBron.
You just said his name like that, though. Like, it could have been like, eh, LeBron, you know? I could have done that. No, but that's how you
Why?
Do,
but he's still, like.
He's just doing tone.
But with LeBron, everybody still thinks he could contribute, right?
Clay had 200 threes last year. Let me get to our okay. guests. We're good. We're quibbling.
All right.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon. Toyota of Hollywood on, and go to toyotaofhollywood.com, and there we'll find the host of Locked On Heat, Locked On NBA Daily, and that is our friend Wes Gover. What's going on, Wes? How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening?
Ready for Clay Day.
Ready for Clay Day, right? Well, all right, let's settle the – so is this what's the excitement level that today should be? Is it like a 7? Is it a 10? Where do you think that today ranks amongst the off-season days?
Yeah, if I guess 10 is a Giannis, then I think this is an 8, right? I
mean, that Clay is that high?
That, you know, we're not talking about how they compare as players, right?
No.
Giannis is a 10. Clay is probably like a 4 at this point of his career. But in terms of excitement, Clay Thompson, very decorated, awesome personality. Look, he's not getting the full Giannis treatment. We're not doing the press conference on the basketball court. It's back in the interview room where most of these things are done. But it's still Clay Thompson, right? This is a legend. This is a future Hall of Famer first ballot. And guys, I'm telling you, I think Heat fans are going to love this guy. He's a great personality. We are going to laugh at this press conference today. And he's obviously a perfect fit for this team. I mean, this is a front office that is clearly going all in with Giannis in a way that we haven't really seen them go all in before in a very long time.
Were you surprised at the money he gave up? Because it seemed like the way that he were moving, they were confident this could happen, but you never know. It wasn't really in their control. They had to make sure the Mavericks would bend to the whim and all that. So what did you make of, I guess, the fallout, how it happened, the money that he took and all that?
I'm always surprised when players give up money. I'm just, as a rule, I even while we were covering this Clay Thompson stuff at Locked On Heat, I was saying, like, look, I'll believe that he gives up a bunch of money to get the buyout when I see it. And it's not to say that I didn't think it would happen. Frankly, I did think it was going to happen because all the signs were pointing in that direction. And the Heat were very confident that this was going to happen. But you just, I can't count somebody else's money. I have no idea what they're going to do with it and how they're going to behave. But the fact that he gave up almost $10 million to accept a buyout out of Dallas and then took what was initially reported as a $6-plus million deal in this first year of a two-year deal with a player option on that second year. And then he clears waivers on Sunday at 5 p.m. And everybody, I know, Tobin, you were doing the same thing I was, waiting for that tweet. You know, it's 5 o'clock, he cleared waivers. When are we getting the official thing? When are we getting the official? 5 hours later, almost, it was like 9:50 p.m., we get the official tweet. And then we get the report that he actually took almost $1 million less than what was initially reported. That was not a reporting mistake. That was the Miami Heat in those 5 hours since he cleared waivers actually talking him down and trying to explain the fact that, hey, if you actually take a little bit less than what you were already agreeing to take, where you were already agreeing to take less than what you were going to be making in Dallas, we can actually sign two players on this roster before opening night instead of just one player. And Klay Thompson in that live stream a couple weeks ago talked about how he wanted to play a role for a team that can make a deep playoff run, that he just wants to essentially play in games that matter again. He wants to feel alive again, which he obviously was not feeling alive in Dallas after they traded Luka. And the fact that he put his money where his mouth is, like, I think that gets so much respect. I think that's so deserving of respect, the fact that he said, you know what, I'm willing to give up the money. I've made a bunch of money. I've accomplished a lot. I just want to play in games that matter. Because most players will say that, as we know. I want to win. But most, like, the unsaid part of that is, I want to win, but also I want to get paid all of the money that is coming to me. Clay is willingly putting money on the table for the betterment of a team that, frankly, he owes nothing to. He owes nothing to this Heat organization. But he thinks, okay, this is the best way for me to play on a team that matters again. So I was surprised by all of it, but obviously, you know, very optimistic about the way it all played out.
So what do you think about from his standpoint? I would assume that this means he's probably going to start, but what do you think this kind of does for the depth of Miami now? Like, Hardaway was such a big priority for them in the offseason. I'd imagine now he's kind of going to that six man or kind of add with both of them at some at the same time. But what do you think this kind of does as the hierarchy of the team now adding him into the fold?
Yeah, I think this is the super underrated part of the Klay Thompson signing, because the Heat had two major issues prior to getting Klay. It was spacing and depth. And I think with one signing, they kind of addressed both in a very meaningful way, because all of a sudden Tim Hardaway Jr. goes from overtaxed as a starting two guard to going back to what he was last year as a sixth man of the year finalist, right? He finished right behind Jaime Hackers Jr. and Keshawn Johnson. Keldon Johnson. Yeah, thank you.
Close, though. I mean, I do understand how the Keyshawn one got you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough one. So you now all of a sudden he goes from overtaxed as a starter to back to one of the best six men in the league. You've got him and Bobby Portis coming off your bench. Those are two proven depth pieces. And then we have Pelle Larsen, who we all know here is a very good player. I don't think, you know, nationally he's recognized as that, but he will be after this season, 25 national TV games. People are going to see Pelle Larsen do more than just get hit in the face here. So I do think, like, this is suddenly a team that has the spacing that it needed, because now you have one of Klay and Hardaway on the court at all times, I think, ideally. And then you have, I think, three really good pieces coming off your bench. And again, two roster spots still to fill. Like, the Heat are not done yet.
You think Jovic is the X factor, like the wild card, that he comes in and he starts playing well and we're like, look at this team now.
Call him by his new name, though. Call him by his new name. Serbian Bam.
Minus one.
He's stopping Wembanyama. I mean, that's two games in a row, Wes.
Wes.
I don't even know if Bam's done that.
Exactly.
Wes, can we need a group session to talk this man off the ledge? He brags about coming in watching Eurobasket, World Cup friendlies.
It was a great game, dude. I mean, it was a great time.
It's a great game.
Wes, when have you ever watched a World Cup friendly that didn't involve the U.S.?
I'm watching World Cup friendlies. It's on the TV.
It's great.
But it's part of the job.
You don't become the host of a Locked On NBA Daily without daily checking in on two of the best players in the world facing off. And the unfortunate thing is, he tuned in thinking Joker was the best player, but actually, Jovic was the one who shut down Wemby.
Again. Yeah, you know who was getting back on defense? Was Jovic.
Exactly, dude.
So, with that being said, is Jovic gonna probably make the biggest impact? Because I don't think anybody's expecting anything.
I don't know. I hope so. But look, if there was like an off season that laid the groundwork for a bounce back season, it would look like this, right? With a really promising showing overseas right now, with the fact that they acquired Giannis, who's going to make his job so much easier. I mean, so much easier. If Nico can really just embrace the point fiving, which is what, you know, coaches call it when you make a decision in half a second, dribble, shoot, or pass in half a second. Make that decision. Don't take your time with the ball. Don't mess with it. Just make a quick decision and move. If he can really embrace that playing next to Giannis, I think he's in for a real bounce back year. I don't know that I would call him the X factor, because if he doesn't play well, they always have Bobby Portis, who basically just does all these things at a proven level already. Yeah. To me, I think the X factor is actually Davion Mitchell, because he's a guy, if he takes a leap as a playmaker here, running, you know, pick and roll with Giannis and Bam and stuff like that, that's a position that goes from overlooked to all of a sudden, oh, wait, the Miami Heat have one of the better two-way point guards in the league, one of the few point guards in the league who can guard his position at an elite level. And if he can really, I mean, we're already seeing Davion every day posting Instagram videos, running, you know, screen and roll actions with some of these big men. If he can really turn that into something and unlock Giannis and Bam in the half court specifically, that to me would be the biggest X factor for the Heat this season.
I think that's where they struggled last year. Like, it was fun when they ran. And then when it kind of got tired and start giving up a boatload of points, and it went to the half court, they struggled, which was weird for a Heat basketball team to struggle in half court.
They haven't really had a great half court offense since LeBron James left. I mean, if you really look at the numbers just in the half court, there was a couple of years of Goran Dragic, and then we had the 7-11 year with Dragic and Waiters, which was kind of weirdly a really good half court offense team. But
what a time.
And now we're here, guys. Now we have Giannis. It took a minute, but now we're back.
Do you feel like that offense, do you think they're going to bring that back this year? The no pick and rolls type of thing? Because it kind of felt like by the end of the year, it didn't feel like a lot of the players loved it, but, you know, I get, you know, Giannis could kind of flourish in something like that. Do you feel like that's something they'll go back to this year?
I think they're going to bring back elements of it, but I like to remind people, Eric Spoelstra implemented that system not because he has some sort of irrational hatred of pick and roll. He brought the system in because he thought it was a gimmick. It was the last way that we could actually juice an offense that had been in the bottom 10 in offensive rating for 5 straight years. And he was like, okay, everything else isn't working. The Heat did not have a great pick and roll ball handler. Like, who in that team was operating out of pick and roll? Like, nobody was good at it. And so he's like, well, if we're not going to be good at it, then why are we going to run it? So he ran this gimmick offense last year. It worked for a little bit. It didn't, you know, I actually do think it worked just because they didn't finish in the top 10 in offensive rating. They ended up finishing outside of the bottom 10, which to me is a successful year. I think they maxed it out. But I do think you want to bring elements in terms of the strategic running off of rebounds. I think that's huge for this team. It's going to be huge for Giannis, obviously. I think you're going to bring back a lot of the off-ball movement and the spacing principles in terms of constant movement around the arc. But you're going to run pick and roll. Like, I can guarantee you we will see a lot more pick and roll this year than we did last year, because in part, that's what Giannis wants to do, and that's what Bam wants to do. Bam wants to set a really hard screen on the perimeter and then step into a free throw line jumper. Davion Mitchell and everybody else that he's going to have to play with is going to have to nail that pocket pass to Bam. Giannis, on the other hand, does not set hard screens. He doesn't want to. He wants to set kind of a ghost screen at the top, slip really quick, and then start running to the basket. And they're going to have to, whoever's running pick and roll with Giannis is going to have to get used to that, because it's a very different kind of rhythm than the one with Bam. That, to me, is the thing that could take a little bit of time at the beginning of the year to get used to.
The timing might be a little bit off simply because he's going to be a lot farther than you expect.
It's right. All the timing, right? But as soon as they get that timing down, then I think they're cooking with gas.
So you mentioned about the contract to Klay Thompson. So this leaves them some flexibility. What intrigues you? What do you think they should do with those last roster spots? Do you think they use them both? What is the most, I guess, useful thing that's still out there that they could get?
I do think they end up using them both. I don't know that both players that they signed to these two contracts will have guaranteed contracts. We'll see. I guess that kind of comes down to the negotiations part of it. Nick Richards has the inside track, right? He's around the Miami Heat facility. I do think that there's some mutual interest there. To me, don't get cute with these moves. Like, these are guys that are not going to be part of your every night rotation. These are going to be break glass in case of emergencies. Think about where this team needs bodies right now. They need another center on the roster. I think they know that. So go get Nick Richards. And if it's not Richards, just somebody. I really don't care who it is. And then probably another ball handler, I would think. Because if Davion Mitchell gets hurt and if Drew Smith gets hurt again, this team is all of a sudden very, very short on guys who could just bring the ball up and get them into their offense. So I would probably go with those two spots. It's very tempting to get cute. Like, I floated the idea on Locked On Heat. Like, couldn't you call Chris Paul and talk him out of retirement?
Ooh.
Like, could you do something like that? Could you go after, like, a Jonathan Kuminga and say, like, hey, we're kind of short on youth. Maybe make a talent play even though there's not an obvious need for him. I don't think you get cute. Just get a couple of bodies. Dudes who are going to be okay not playing every single night, but who will be there and, you know, can be professional and be available.
If you play for the Miami Heat, you're going to be part of an 8-man rotation because everybody's hurt for at least 5 or 6 games during the course of a year.
And Spo actually does a good job of, like, hey, if you've had a good week, you know, in film and in walkthroughs and stuff, like, I'll get you some minutes in January, February, March. Like, he'll do that kind of thing too.
Chris Paul does that would be fun, but I feel like he's a pain in everybody's ass. It would be.
Like, Chris Paul, listen.
Names are fun.
I love Chris Paul, but Chris Paul can't be on your roster. He's a grumpy old man.
Why not? Every roster needs a curmudgeon.
One little point there. Davion Mitchell admires Chris Paul. They have had dinner before in the past, and Chris Paul has sort of taught Davion Mitchell some of
like
the things.
This.
It would be kind of cool to get CP3 in the building and just be like, hey, your job is to mentor Davion Mitchell.
Right, right.
Make him a coach then.
Make him a coach. Isn't he going to go like run the Lakers or something like that? I thought like the new Lakers owner is like close with him. Something like that. But I kind of like this. I mean, it's off the wall. It's not D'Angelo Russell. I like this. I'm for this.
It is not D'Angelo Russell. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So you're doing some stuff with the Dolphins now, man? What do you got going on with Locked On and the Dolphins?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we already have, I host Locked On Heat, which is a daily podcast, 30 minutes every day, Monday through Friday, post-game shows. And we already have a Dolphins show that does that too. Kyle Krabs does a great job. He's on the Joe Rose show all the time. We recently expanded to do these short kind of content bursts, like little 5-minute videos on YouTube and then like 60-second shorts on, you know, the places where those live. And so I'm doing that. So I'm less... Cool. I'm less Dolphins podcaster, or maybe more Dolphins influencer, as cringe as that is.
Sounds
to say,
more fun.
That's sort of the deal.
Finfluencer? Yeah, I screwed it up. I'll take a minus one. I apologize.
Why?
Workshop.
Minus
why
one.
Do? Why do you
fly.
Always?
Don't get mad at me.
This, by the way, Wes. Every day, this is every day. He just I'm
trying
like,
to find trying to find the bit.
He's shooting from half court with 5 seconds left.
What's the hottest Fins take you got right now? Is it? Do you like Halfley? Did Chris Bell beat signs? Like, what's the thing that you're just like after 3 weeks of preseason practices? Like, this is the thing that I'm really passionate about.
That's a good question because it's hard to be passionate about this team because they played one. We have one 94-yard drive. I think is the greatest drive in my
it was great.
History.
Already. Very complete.
Like the way that it's being talked about right now. If we just end the season now, we're like, look, that was pretty good. I think Cam Miller is better than Quinn Ewers. I don't know if that's a hot.
Ooh,
take.
I like that. I liked him. Yeah, I thought he had. I thought he was. I love the run, and I loved him.
I think it's more along the lines of how relaxed and comfortable a player looks playing a position, because then at that point we can teach him and he can improve. But if you're skittish in the pocket and you're awkward and you're uncomfortable, we got to get that out of you first before we even get you to like look downfield and do these things. And Quinn sometimes come across as being very skittish.
Well, Leroy, let me ask you, how much does it matter how bad Cam was in that first game compared to being pretty average in that second game? That's a big improvement, to be horrible to average. Do coaches look at that and say, oh, well, this guy has a capacity for improvement within a week? Like that, I feel pretty good about being able to coach this guy for a season.
There's a couple of things that you learn when you take that next step up. One, the time that you have shrinks, right? And so every quarterback looks a little uneasy when they first get in there, whether it's preseason, whether it's whatever, because you're so used to doing it in practice where the guy does a drive-by, but he doesn't touch you. And then you get in the game and those same bodies are close and you're like, whoo, that was quick. So sometimes you get a little skittish. It's good to see that in the second week, he almost looked more relaxed. He was more aware of his clock. And he knew when to take off, when to look for plays or whatever. The next step is, hey, don't just take off and run. Keep your eyes down the field. There's a lot of plays to be made when everybody leaves their guy to come tackle you because you've shown you can run. And some quarterbacks kind of move into that very smoothly. And others, like, how can I put it? It's the J.J. McCarthy thing, right? J.J. McCarthy looks like the prototypical quarterback. He drops back. He has the ball perfectly. He throws the ball well, but he can't play quarterback at this point. And some guys just naturally play the position, and then you work with all the other stuff. Cam looks like naturally he looks like he knows what's going on. Now we just got to speed up his clock, get him looking in the right spots. But I don't get that feeling with Quinn. Quinn still looks like he's trying to work on his footwork, get his arm, you know, and
looks very robotic.
Right, yeah. Right.
I like it, man. Great take. Wes Goldberg, go check out his work. Locked On Heat, Locked On Dolphins Hit, Locked On NBA.
You need help?
NBA Daily.
You need help with the football? You call me. I need help with the basketball and the Clay questions? I'll call you.
Done deal.
All right.
As long as you admit it's Clay Day. We'll see you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wes.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll take a break. Back after this.